going back over this past week, we've had some more inflation data out of the US, and it's showing some signs of topping off in terms of producer prices in the near term. That won't last for particularly long because we've got some other pressures which are coming through for producer prices down the track. But the CPI was still very, very elevated. So we had the September CPI came out. It was higher than expected. It was up 0.4%. Market was looking for 0.3%. So the annual change in prices in the United States has lifted from 5.3% to 5.4% now. That's a September reading. And the core CPI is still holding at 4% on an annual basis. As far as producer prices are concerned, the most recent readings are 0.5%. That's still a pretty high monthly reading. And actually, it didn't lift the annual rate quite as high as expected. It still went up from 8.3% to 8.6%. And the core PPI was 0.2%, so that was a little bit below market expectations. That lifted to 6.8% from 6.7%. So this pressure that's on inflation is still there for the time being, and it's going to be a major factor as far as many central banks are concerned around the world. Ours is trying to hold out against it. I'll mention it a bit more in a minute. And some of the data that's coming through the US is pointing to some strength running through economic activity. Now, the US is such a mixed bag at the moment because you've got the president who's at war with his own party in Congress. He's got two major spending initiatives which come through, which if both come through, one's about physical infrastructure, that's bridges and the whole, all that sort of stuff, renewing all that. The other one's social infrastructure. And both these pieces of legislation are not causing problems with the Republicans, but causing problems with his own party. So trying to get it through through Congress. If it did go through, you've got huge fiscal spending, which will keep this US recovery going for a very long time. But a lot of it's in the air. And of course, you've got the problems with the Fed, who are looking at the inflation consequences of this and what they may do with policy as well. So US is a bit of a mixed bag. Yeah, expect lots of volatility out of US financial markets for the time being. But as far as bond markets are concerned, also expect over time, drawing through the volatility, you're going to get drift upwards in yields, and that's not going to go away. And we see it in some of the data that came out right at the end of last week. Retail sales, right at the core of US spending, for the month of September, strong. The market expected they would be down by 0.2%. They rose by 0.7%. We had core retail sales, market expected 0.5%. They lifted by 0.8%. So you've got a lot of strength running through those particular parts. On top of that, we started Q3 company earnings reporting season in the United States. And when you've got both volume growth coming through the economy itself and you've got ability to pass on prices, it shouldn't surprise anybody that company earnings are going to beat expectations by a country mile. They have been for the last few quarters. They're starting to do it again with the Q3 reports coming through. So that accounted for why, after all the uncertainty of the earlier part of the week, the stock market got a really good lift on Friday. It was, company earnings. You can't really sell a market down when you've got companies which are bolting along in terms of company earnings. And, of course, that will continue, provided you've got the economic support for it in both volume and inflation. And this is the conundrum at the moment. At what point does too hot an economy become too much for the Fed? That's where we're really watching things for the time being. This week in the US, we won't get a lot more color this week. We'll get more company earnings, and they should all be pretty strong. But in terms of the economic data, we come back to things like housing data. Housing data was very, very strong going back to August. So things like housing starts rose by 3.9%. Housing permits were up by 5.6%. The market expects some settling back on that. So the September housing starts coming out this week are expected to be up 0.3%. Permits are expected to be off perhaps about 2.4%. Of course, last month, we had those sorts of expectations, and they were beaten by a country mile. So waiting to see how those pan out as we go through this week. We've also got the National Association of Home Builders Index. That lifted to 76 last month and is expected to hold around that 76 for the most recent month. So that's looking a little bit stronger. And towards the end of the week, we'll get some purchasing managers' reports. These are the old style manufacturing PMIs and services sector PMIs. Both are looking okay. The manufacturing PMI was at 60.7 going back a month ago. It's probably going to hold round about that level, 60.3, we think, for the most recent month. The services sector PMI, if anything, will lift a bit from 54.9 to 55.1. So those numbers looking pretty good. Moving to China, it's big data week here for China, but even last week, we had a bit of data coming out. And China's doing all right on international trade at the moment. September exports beat expectations quite comfortably. We saw an acceleration from 25.6% year-on-year to 28.1% year-on-year. Market was looking at 21.5, so still getting a little bit of power through there. The import side, though, was on the softer side, with speaking back to domestic spending in China. And so market was looking for 19.2% lift there. We got 17.6, and that was back from 33.1% the month before. So that's a reasonable indicator of domestic spending inside China, and shows that things are still fading back a bit, partly under policy pressures from China too. We also had inflation readings. So we had the September CPI and the September PPI. Uniquely, amongst the world economies, you've got a disconnect between the CPI and the PPI in China. And it's largely because factory gate prices, China produces mostly for export. And so, they don't necessarily feed into domestic prices where, things like food prices at home are very much a part of, and house prices and these sorts of things feed their CPI. Factory gate prices, when they're producing all this stuff, it's largely going into the international market. The CPI, the annual rate of inflation, came down slightly to 0.7% from 0.8% year on year. So they've got one of the lowest CPI inflation rates around the world. Producer prices, though, accelerated more than expected and went up from 9.5% year-on-year to 10.7% year-on-year. Now, that's a feed into everybody else's prices around the world. So there's certainly some elevation coming through there in terms of those factory gate prices. This week in China, we've got all sorts of stuff happening. We've got a lot of the regular monthly data coming out, as well as Q3 GDP. GDP will settle back. So Q3 GDP is coming out at midday today, and that will settle back to about 5.2% year-on-year, we think, from 7.9%. It's a long time since we've seen Chinese GDP without any special factors like COVID lockdown below 6%. This is all part of the cost of China changing policies on all sorts of fronts, and it's having a bit of a marked effect on the economy. It could be much weaker than 5.2% at Q3 GDP. We'll wait and see where it comes in. We've also got the September monthly numbers. And the ones which relate to industrial production and property construction, all of those are expected to fade. And so we've got September fixed asset investment spending expected to come down to 7.9% from 8.9%. Industrial production down to 4.5% year on year from 5.3%. Retail sales may be up, but they fell a lot going back the previous month, where they're down to only 2.5% year on year. They may lift a bit to 3.3%. Then also, of course, everybody's watching Evergrande this week too. This is the week where potentially they may default. Has some influence this week too. So, a lot of reasons to be watching what happens in China, which will probably add into the volatility amongst what we're watching. Australia last week, some interesting numbers. We had the NAB business survey for the most recent month. And what this shows is that the lockdowns in New South Wales and Victoria had a temporary effect, negative effect, but it's not that persistent. So you see it in business sentiment. So basically, you know, obviously they were cut back in production, so you'd expect it to show in that particular indicator. It came down from plus 14, but still had a positive on the front of it. It came down to plus 5. Business confidence, though, and this reflected businesses looking forward, seeing that, you know, there's more of a roadmap getting out of lockdowns now, that went from minus 6 to plus 13. So that jumped and suggests that, you know, businesses are starting to get optimistic about what happens when things start to open up again. Westpac consumer sentiment, they went the other way. And so, you know, we had previous month, we had a surprising lift of 2%. We came back by 1.5% for the most recent month. And then, of course, we had the labour force data. And as you'd expect, this was a September reading, so you get the full impact of both New South Wales and Victoria with their lockdowns. And we got another fall, slightly bigger than market expectations. The market thought that employment would fall by 120,000. It fell by 138,000. But the labour force participation rate came down a long way too. This is all part of, you know, the way in which people are defined as either being in work or out of work, or whether they're still even active inside the labour force. And this number suggests that, you know, a lot of people temporarily fell out of the labour force. And so the participation rate came down from 65.2% to 64.5%. As a result of that, the unemployment rate only edged up very, very slightly to 4.6% from 4.5%. Yeah, many are saying that the unemployment rate's a pretty unreliable indicator of the tightness of the labour market at the moment. You know, if you're looking at a 4.6% unemployment rate normally, you'd say this labour market's tight as a drum. And the way that the policymakers are looking at this is that, you know, as employment lifts, once we get out of lockdowns, that the participation rate will go up. You could even conceivably see the unemployment rate go up as things are improving before it starts to come down again. I just have some doubts about that. There are all sorts of factors which are running through the labour market at the moment, which I'll write about today, which suggests that things may tighten up one hell of a lot quicker than the RBA is considering. And this may be the driving force that leads them to join the rest of the world screaming and kicking towards lifting interest rates. It's not going to be there in the next month or two, but there's, amongst these population change, the slowness of getting temporary workers back into the country, the way in which many people through the course of lockdown have really looked at their lives and decided, I don't want to do what I was doing before, I've gone off and done something else. So many of the employers, as they try to get their workers back on again, finding they can't get them and having to bribe them to get them back. So, you know, these are the sorts of factors which I don't think are adequately considered inside the official idea. It's all going to be nice and smooth. You know, you get the unemployment rate flipping up for a period. Then it comes down very, very slowly. It's going to take 2 years before we get to a real tightness in the labour market. It just doesn't look right at the moment with some of the things which are starting to show through. In Australia, we'll get the RBA minutes, and maybe there'll be a bit more discussion on that sort of stuff that they come out on Tuesday. We've also got Reserve Bank Governor Phil Lowe, and he'll be speaking on Friday. So, yeah, we'll hear probably a confirmation of what they're still thinking, you know, for the time being from that speech as we go further forward. Finally, just out of Europe, the numbers there a little bit on the softer side. Europe was doing extremely well. But just showing some signs of being slightly softer. ZEW economic sentiment came down to 21 for the most recent month from 31.1. Industrial production in August, after a really good month in July, up 1.4%, actually came down by 1.6%. And surprisingly, the trade balance in Europe came back a long way too. The trade balance was at 20.7 billion euro going back the month before. That came back to 4.8 billion euros. That's quite a big pullback, so just the signs that maybe there's a touch of softness running through Europe. This week in Europe, going to be watching on Wednesday. They have their CPI and core CPIs coming out. September CPI, this is actually just a revision, but it did lift to 3.4% year-on-year on the provisional figures. Expected to hold that, but there may be some change to that, and if anything, it's going to be changed upwards. And the core CPI, which had run up to 1.9%, looking at that perhaps holding up as well. We also get some manufacturing purchasing managers reports and services sector reports coming out at the end of the week. And if that softness that we saw in some of those indicators there in Europe is anything to go by, we might just get a little bit of settling back from 58.6 for the manufacturing PMI to 57 and 56.4 for the services sector PMI perhaps to 55.4, but nothing particularly dramatic. Focus this week, yeah, I think still going to go back to the US. It'll be their company reporting season, what that does, gyrations in terms of the equity market, the relative strength of some of the economic indicators that come out there. And for us here, just watching those odd indicators from the Reserve Bank and just that horrible feeling at the moment that, we at some point we're going to get a jolt towards interest rates moving up rather faster than they have been so far.